you know, our core values different from others. And so that's kind of why we decided to go through a core values series and kind of make this a series and talk about who we are, what really matters to us. And the core value that we're talking about today is huge. It says this: our number one desire is to be a place where God shows up and shows off more of Him and less of us. So there's a book that came out years ago. Many of you probably read it. It's called Purpose Driven Life. And I have always loved the first sentence of the very first chapter. And the author pens the first line, and it says this: it's not about you. And then he starts the first paragraph, and that line just kind of hangs there by itself. And it's, you know, if you've ever taken a writing class in high school or college or, you know, on any level, they always tell you, you know, have a statement that grips them, right? A hook, if you will. And that one has always hooked me. It's not about you. You see, life is not about you. It's not about me. It's about something or someone that is much bigger than we could possibly be. And the verse that we're going to look at today that's going to kind of kick things off for us is John chapter 3, verse 30, where it says, "He must become greater, I must become less." He must become greater, I must become less. And so, you know, that's meaning, it means this: Jesus must become greater in order for that to happen. I, me, you, we must become less. It's easy to say, right? Easy to say. You know, you probably quote that scripture, and maybe you have in the past. It's just a little verse. It's 8 words long, but it's much harder to make applicable to our lives, isn't it? Here's a little bit of context about what's going on here in John chapter 3. Not long before, in Matthew chapter 3, John was baptizing Jesus in the Jordan. John had told his disciples, because he had his own disciples, he says, "I am not the Christ. I'm not the Christ." I want you to understand that. In fact, when he comes, John says, "I'm not even fit to unbuckle his sandals." John's saying, "Don't look at me. Don't look at me." And after John then baptizes Jesus, John's disciples approach him and they say, "Rabbi, listen, you know that man that you were with and, you know, on the other side of the Jordan, and you testified about him and you said that he was coming? Well, he's baptizing people now too, and everybody's going over to him." And that's what they're telling John. And John says, "Listen, he must become greater. It is critically important. I must become less." It's like John is saying, "You know what? Second place is okay to me. I'm totally fine with second place. This doesn't bother me at all. Matter of fact, we're talking about Jesus, right? I'm okay with taking second place to Jesus." And so in our society, what does second place mean? It means that you're the first place loser, right? No, people are like, "I don't tell my kid that." Anyways, John is saying something very different here in Scripture. In fact, when you meet someone that's like this, you want to be around them. You are drawn to them. You want to spend time with them. And when you're around someone that is comfortable with who they are, comfortable in their own skin, you're intrigued. You want to know more. And maybe there's even a little bit about you that wants to be like them in many ways. Because in our world, in our society, what happens is it cries out the opposite. It has to be about what we want. You got to be first place. What we do, us first, no matter who I have to step on or who I have to step over to climb the ladder of success, I will do it because I want to get to that position. I want to get ahead where I'm headed in life. Or it's about my kids. You know, you can have a child that totally stinks at a sport. And, you know, parents show up and they're saying, "Listen, little Johnny, you know, he made an effort and he opened his eyes this morning and he's here and we drug him here, so he should play the whole game. I don't care who else plays, but Johnny should play the whole game." And, you know, we have a society that says, "Listen, we should be able to do this. It's about what I want. Even though I'm not in charge, it's about what I want. I want my kid to do this. I want them to have the most PT. I want them to have the most playtime." In your notes, there's a key thought and it states this: to mature physically, we increase. We grow. We get stronger. We increase. To mature spiritually, we decrease. That's what we call God math. It doesn't really make sense by human standards, but by God's standards, it makes perfect sense because it becomes less about us and more about Jesus. Mother Teresa said, "If you are humble, nothing will touch you, neither praise nor disgrace, because you know what you are." I like to say, you know whose you are. This thought, this idea is so different from what we've been told and what has been expected of us and what we're expected to be. So what does it look like to be more like Jesus and less about ourselves? We're going to look at three specific areas that we can look at in our own lives. We can make this applicable every single day. And the first one is this: I lose the me in my heart. It means that we lose the me mentality in every area of our life beyond ourselves. How can we help develop and cultivate other things in people? There's a video that came out several years ago. You may have seen it. And it shows this mentality just perfectly. It's called All About Me. Check it out. All right, obviously it's meant to be a little bit overboard and facetious, but people are like, where do I get that CD? Anyways, those are the people you have to be worried about. So are we putting others first? What, you know, a question that sometimes I ask myself on a regular basis is, what am I doing this week that is a sacrifice to me? What am I doing that I have to sacrifice my time, sacrifice my energy, sacrifice, you know, maybe a little bit of time with my family that is not about me, that is totally about somebody else, spending time with someone, encouraging someone? What are we actively doing to accomplish this so much? And this is the point that we try to get to. This is the end goal. So much that we don't really have to try anymore because it's just who we are. It's our DNA, it's everything about us is about serving others, because Jesus came and he was a perfect example of just that. Hebrews 12:2 says this: we do this by keeping our eyes on Jesus, the champion who initiates and perfects our faith. So when our attention is on him, then it can't be shared to other things, right? When we get our attention in the right place, it makes a huge difference in our lives, in our relationships, in everything that we are, because we instinctively think that everything we have to do that day is hugely important, and everything that God wants to do that day is hugely important. But the reality is, if everything in your day is that important, then nothing really is important. Make sense? When we keep our eyes on Jesus, suddenly where other people see death, what do we see? We see life. When we keep our eyes on Jesus, where others see destruction and despair, when our eyes are on Jesus, we don't see as the world sees, the word says. We see deeper. We see hope. We see a future. We don't see obstacles as a barrier. We see them as something to go over. We learn in the process. Our obstacles become opportunities for us because our attention is in the right place. We have to get the attention off of us. We have to lose the me in our heart. Secondly, I have to lose my stuff. And I'm not talking about your car keys. I'm not talking about your wallet. If your kids just started summer break, I'm not talking about losing your mind, okay? It's just been one of those weeks for our kids. You know, it's like, you know, they call us 18 times. They want a video chat in one day. And it's like, mommy and daddy have to work. And I've seen a dandelion a million times. I don't want to see another dandelion. Thank you so much. Don't send me another video of a dandelion. And, you know, it's just like, hey, I'm about ready to go in the bathroom and go number two. Don't care. Don't really care at all. Nope. Seen that a million times too. And, you know, even if I haven't seen it, I don't want to hear about it. Just tell me when I get home. So anyways, yeah. And it's only the first week. I literally asked Trinity at the end of the week, how long have you guys been on summer break? And she goes, it's only been a week. And I about pulled all my hair out. So I'm like, are you sure it hasn't been a month? Because I'm feeling really wore out already. Let's look at the scripture in your notes. Solomon wrote this text. And we know Solomon because the Word of God says that he was the wealthiest person to ever walk the planet. That's what Scripture says. And he pens these words. And these are interesting words coming from a man that has everything. Ecclesiastes chapter 5, verse 10. Those who love money will never have enough. How meaningless to think that wealth will bring true happiness. Isn't that the truth? you might be saying, well, I'd like to have a, can I just have a little, can I just ask God for a little bit more? You know, come on, it can't hurt. Just add a zero on the back end, push everything over, there's always a new version of something, right? There's always a new version, higher resolution, more giga, something, I don't know. There's something that we're always going to want to buy, or sometimes we convince ourselves and we need to buy, because we have to stay up with the latest and the greatest, and I've got to stay up with the fashion, and my car's outdated, because it doesn't have the new high resolution Blu-ray player, and I just got it last year, so I got to get a whole new car. It's horrible. And if I spend somewhere too long, I can find 100 things that I don't have. And if I stay there a really long time, I can find 100 items that I never knew that I needed. And it's the desire for more. It's insatiable, and it's just part of human nature. But when we begin to realize that, this stuff really isn't mine. This stuff really isn't mine. It makes all the difference, because we don't become so emotionally intertwined with it, do we? Yes, we need to take care of what God has entrusted us with, but it's not really yours. And so when we think that way, that something doesn't belong to us, we think differently about it. Someone opened their car door a few weeks. I was picking Trinity up from school, and they nailed my super amazing Jeep. And you've seen it, obviously. So, yeah, and they felt horrible because it was a super windy day. And I watched them. They opened it. They had their hand on it, and the wind just ripped it out of their hand, and it hit my car, and they were apologizing, and they were, like, offering to pay for damages, and I'm like, man, how bad is it? I didn't even want to get out of the car. And then I'm looking over, and I'm like, you're driving a 2017 SUV. I should be apologizing to you, my car is almost 20 years old compared to yours. I'm sorry that happened to your car, okay? And, that's the way it is. We get all wrapped up in it, or we have a tendency to do that. The same thing is true about our day. When we wake up in the morning and we've got this long to-do list, all these prescribed things that we have to do, what's a to-do list typically? It's about you. Your to-do list is usually about you. I've got to run this errand. I've got to pick up the kids. I've got to get, them to practice. I got to get them to a game. I got to pick up a few things for meals. I need to get the house, the car, the family pet ready for vacation. And pretty soon you're like, you're just like, woo. So when your day gets interrupted, we see it as a inconvenience when it's all about you, right? Why is this person calling me right now? Are you serious? And the phone rings and you're like, man, can't they ask somebody else this question? It's really not that hard of a question. They could ask anybody this question, and then you're on the phone with them for like 1.5 minutes and you're like, dude, listen, build a bridge and get over it, okay? I got tons of things to do. And I'm just saying what some people are thinking, all right? So tell the truth, shame the devil, all right? And you become annoyed by it. But then when our attention is in the right place, our day, our stuff, our time, we begin to see those interruptions as really opportunities. We say, man, listen, this person's calling me. Maybe the reasoning is far deeper than what they're really saying in this text message. Maybe their reason is not just a simple question, but it's, they just need someone to talk to. They just need someone to just input some positivity in their life. They might be in a really low place right now. And maybe not. Maybe they just truly love you and they just want to hear your voice. And that's just more, encouragement for their day. In Matthew chapter 6, Jesus said, verse 24, no one can serve two masters. Either he will hate the one and love the other, or he will be devoted to the one and despise the other. You cannot serve both God and money. It's impossible to serve fully both God and things. We get so wrapped up and we lose our attention. We lose our focus. It becomes more about us and less about Jesus. And so what we're trying to do is we're trying to take the attention off of us and return it back to Jesus. We need to have this mindset that my things, my time, my life, it's all yours, God. It's all yours. And that's when God shows up continually in our lives. That leads us to the third point in your notes. I lose my life by giving it to God. Matthew chapter 10, verse 39. Whoever finds life will lose it. Whoever loses life for my sake will find it, Jesus said. I appreciate the way that Jesus clarifies this for us. We can lose our life in so many ways, in so many areas, can't we? I mean, it's just easy just to get just wrapped up in the hustle and the bustle. We lose it in things and stuff, and we become all about the latest stuff. And maybe for you it's social media and it's Facebook and it's Twitter, it's Instagram, it's Snapchat. And instead of people sitting right in front of you, people that maybe you sit right next to on the bus or sit right next to at work, you can lose your life in all sorts of different areas and different things. But Jesus said, whoever loses their life in my name's sake, they will truly find life. Because we begin to understand there is much greater purpose and meaning to our lives than a being about just us. And I'm not saying that we lose our identity and we're supposed to brush everything aside and we're not supposed to be who God called us to be. I'm not saying that. You can only help people as far as you have gone yourself. And so you have to work at becoming a better you, but you do that through a relationship with Jesus as well. And thinking about this idea about being second place, it's hard to wrap your mind around sometimes. Where does that play out in our day-to-day lives? Where does that play out, you know, in our week-to-week, month-to-month? And we are programmed from a really young age through sports and coaches and teachers and dads and moms and families to get the W, right? Go out, get the win. You have to be on top. And I'm a firm believer that, man, if you're out for something, you should give it your all. Whether you are the best or you are the least at it, you should give it 100%. So I'm not saying stop doing that. But John is, in his writing, he wasn't like, yeah, you know, he must become greater, I must become less. Yeah, I know, I get it, you know. And there's this sense when the disciples told him, everybody, John, Rabbi, everybody is going over to this Jesus. I feel like he was celebrating. John was celebrating on the inside, and he was like, yes, yes. That's what he ultimately wanted. He wanted Jesus to be greater. Jesus must become greater. I must become less, John's saying. And so where do we see this being played out? One simple area is with parents. And I just want to pause right there because next week is Father's Day. I want to encourage you to be here. My dad and I are going to, we're going to be together on the stage next week. And my dad's been in ministry for over 50 years. And so it's an honor to do life with him and to do ministry with him. And so we put something on Facebook and we haven't had a great response yet. So if you have a question, we want to answer your questions, okay? And we have a thing at the Resource Center. We want it to be completely anonymous. Even if your name is on the email, you send it to us. That's fine. We're not going to include it. We'll take it off. But we want to answer your questions. What matters to you? What's at your heart, you know? And so that's what we want to do. You can write your questions down at the Resource Center before you leave today. You don't have to be a father. You can be a spouse. You can be a child. This can be about relationships. It can be about finances. There's nothing too heavy, and there's nothing too simple, okay? And so we want to make sure that we get those questions and so that we can start preparing for them. And so the Father's Day commercial is officially over, all right? So jumping back into this. We see this being played out as parents because we pour ourselves into our children, right? At least that's what we're supposed to do because we want to see them become better and greater than us. You don't want to hold your kid back and say, oh, no, I don't want you to break that record because I never broke that record. And, you know, I don't try as hard. Maybe you shouldn't even go out for that sport. No, you want them to do more. You want them to go further. You want them to have better opportunities. You want them to see more. And you want them to be greater than you ever could. And when they accomplish it, we're like, yes. We're like, John, when his disciples are telling him about this Jesus, that everybody's over there, they've left us. There's no one here to teach. They're over there. You know, I want to be like Jesus, or I want to be with John, with my children. I want to say, yes, we are their biggest fans. And that's the sentiment that we see with John about Jesus in this scripture. When you pour your life into a person, whether it's through phone calls or texts or Snapchat or just grabbing coffee, the whole time you're trying to help them understand something just a little bit more about God. And when they finally get it, you rejoice. You're just like, you're excited. You're like, oh man, this is awesome. This is why we do what we do. This is why I exist on this earth. And it doesn't bother you if they go further. It doesn't bother you if they hold a higher position than you or that you ever did, because you got to play a role, big or small, inside of their life in helping them take their next steps towards Christ. It isn't God shows up because now my attention is on him. It's God shows up because my attention is always on him. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for continually showing up in our lives, in this church, in our families. God, we need you now more than ever. Never. Speak to our hearts about what we can do to be more about you and less about ourselves. And as you keep praying today, maybe you have come today and you've experienced the presence of God through worship or talking with someone or through the message or through God's word, and you realize that there are areas of your life today that you need to make more about God than you do yourself. There's some things that maybe scripture talks about that you need to die to yourself so that God can be glorified. And if that's you, I want to pray with you today. Would you just raise your hand? Can I pray with you just where you're at? Thank you for that hand. Thank you. Maybe there's some areas where it's just saying, God, I've taken control of it. I need to give it back to you, God. I'm doing a horrible job at managing this. God, completely and fully, you have my life. Thank you for your hand. Anybody else? Thank you. Thank you. Thank you for your honesty. Lord God, I just pray for courage. I pray for supernatural boldness, Lord Jesus. I pray for humility, Lord God. The hands that went up, that's not easy to do, because you're admitting that there's an area that you need help in. And that's what a strong person can do. A strong person can be humble and say, that's me. I need help. Lord God, I pray, Lord, for every single situation, every single person, Lord God, that you would be more in their lives and that they would become less. Still in an attitude of prayer, there's those of you that God's brought you here for a very specific reason. And you can comprehend that it needs to be, you have a difficult time comprehending that it needs to be more about God and less about you. You have to understand something fundamental about God, and that God has not forgotten you. In Isaiah 49:15, it says, can a mother forget the baby at her breast and have no compassion on the child she was born? God says, though she may forget, I will not forget you. You see, he sent his son Jesus to come and to live a perfect life and to die on the cross for each one of our sins. Why? Because God's word says we have all sinned. We have all fallen short of God's standard. And that just simply means that we haven't lived our lives for him the way that we should. We've tried to fill our lives with all kinds of other stuff and people and things. And we've made other things way more important. The great news is God has not forgotten you, even in the midst of all of that. Wherever you may be today, no matter how rough your life may be, God has not forgotten you. Jesus came to die on the cross. He became sin for us so we could experience grace and forgiveness on a level that is completely unmatched. So we could experience a life that isn't focused on us, a life that is so much better, a life that has purpose, a life that has meaning, a life that is eternal. And there's some of you here today that need to hear that. You need to receive God's forgiveness. You need to experience a fresh start in Jesus. And if that's you, would you raise your hand? I want to pray with you today. I want you to experience Jesus today. Thank you for that hand. Thank you for that hand. I want you to know him. If you don't know him, your life will be so much better. Now, notice I didn't say that your life will be so much easier, But your life will be better when you know Jesus. And it will be easier because now your trust is in Him. He is your strength. He is your encouragement. If you raised your hand, would everyone just pray with those around them? Heavenly Father, thank you for sending Jesus to die on the cross for me, to show me grace, mercy, and forgiveness. Help me to be more about you and less about me in all that I do. May I live my life for you. I give it to you. Amen. Amen.